a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. If you're just joining the broadcast, this is the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House, one of our four weekly Saturday morning hours that we broadcast. We are live today at Treeland Nursery. If you have a question and you want to get it on air here live in person, you'll be entered for a drawing for a 24-inch box tree of your choice. Just come up and talk to one of these beautiful ladies in the Plant Something aprons. They'll get your name and get you a ticket, and then we'll get you in line to ask your question on air. It is also time for overseeding. I saw it looked like what was some winter rye seeds sitting over here.
Yeah, it's kind of sitting around everywhere right now. It's that season, of course, and the things are cooling down. The Bermuda's going to start slowing down and have that nice green lawn through the winter. It's a great time to start overseeding with the perennial rye.
Now, you had said something on our program 2 weeks ago when we had you on in studio that I've never heard anyone else really ever say before about...
Covering.
Cover.
Seed cover. Yeah, the big misconception is that it's meant for preventing birds. Well, birds can flick over some seed cover pretty easily and find that seed. So, it's not necessarily for that. It is basically used to hold heat. And while we're warm, 90-degree weather, and you're putting seed down, it's plenty of warmth in the cooler night times that are still around 70 are warm enough for that seed to germinate. Once we get into November and it starts cooling it down, the night times are in the 60s, 50s, then that seed cover is important. That seed's going to need the warmth overnight, and that seed cover will absorb that sunlight and hold that heat through the cooler nights.
And on that application, do I have to wait? I know if you're not going to do the cover, get it down early. But my Bermuda right now
looks great.
Won't die.
Yeah.
And especially with that rain we got last week.
Sure.
And Rosie's Bermuda is as pretty as I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Do you have to wait for that to go dormant, or can I go ahead and cut it short and apply?
If it's doing well, you can let it go through October or towards the end of October at least. Watch the weather.
If I want to overseed now, is that going to be a problem with the green Bermuda?
Not at all. I mean,
okay.
You're going to scalp it. It's going to shock it a bit. If you've done it year after year, I don't say it's used to it, but it's gotten kind of used to it over time. So the biggest thing is not going to be, or worry, is not going to be now. It's going to be next spring when that rye is still growing well, and that's the other side of it is in May and June, if that rye still looks great, and usually it is because it's more heat tolerant, it's actually best and beneficial for you to scalp the ryegrass and let that Bermuda come through, because that's your summer grass. It has that root base there. It doesn't want to compete with the rye. So, yeah, something we run into a lot is people's Bermuda lawns are starting to struggle, and because we give them such a short window anymore. So they let that ryegrass grow well into early summer. Well, Bermuda wants to start growing a month or two before then. So it is real important to actually scalp and kill your beautiful ryegrass.
Especially in April and May, when it's the absolute perfect time
right.
to enjoy your outdoor
exactly.
living area.
The grass is going to look rough there for a couple of weeks, but once those nights are in the 60s, that Bermuda wants to actively grow, it's a real good time to do that and just kill off the ryegrass and get rid of it.
Let's bring John into the conversation from Surprise. Wants to talk about pests on his patio. Good morning, John.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, and your question?
My question is, I try to sit out on my patio, and I'm inundated with house flies all over the place. I've got, 30, 40, 50 of them floating around. I was wondering if there's any kind of thing I can do to avoid that.
Definitely. Bonide makes a couple of products that we've already talked about, but the one I'd recommend most would probably be the 8. It's going to cover the broadest spectrum of insects. You can use that as a soil drench or application to, if they're living at the soil level there, or even spray the plant also if they're living on the plant. But that will give you an immediate kill. That Bonide 8 would be your best option.
We appreciate the call. Let's move to Santan Valley and bring Elaine into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about pecan trees.
Yes.
My son has bought a property, has about 15 pecan trees on it. They're wanting to build a house, and so, of course, they have to get rid of some of them. And I was on the property yesterday, and the trees are full of pecans. I took one off, and I pulled the pecan out of the middle of the hull and everything. And this morning I cracked it, and it was a little bit soft compared to usually what you have.
Think we lost her. But how do you harvest a pecan?
Well, it's a little bit early for pecans. They're not, you know, usually ripe in November or so.
I know they do the big harvest at the largest pecan orchard in Arizona in Green Valley, which is higher in elevation than where she is in Santan Valley. On November 14th is their festival. So probably even closer to December for that low elevation area.
Correct. It's a little bit early for those to be ripened yet. Probably just wait another 30 to 45 days.
Now, pecan trees are obviously very large. And she probably does. It was probably an orchard that they're building into. They probably had a pecan shaker, which I doubt they probably don't have. I move on to a pecan, a property with pecan trees. Can I wait for them to drop and pick them up off the ground? Do I have to get up there and shake them? Do I have to hire a professional shaker?
Most of the time, you're just going to wait till they fall, or we have used long sticks and poles to knock them off and get them off in November, December.
So it's okay if I pick them up off the ground?
Certainly. Oh, yes.
Very good. Well, congratulations on your son's new property. Sounds like it's a beautiful area and probably under I would say he's probably on a little flood irrigation out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Those are nice properties to have. Mm-hmm. Carol's next on the line and wants to talk about a native. Well, I don't know if a Palo Blanco is native, but at least a desert tree.
Yeah. It's
cool. Hey, Romy. Actually, I think that was a typo on my end. We actually need to go to Carl.
Carl. Go ahead, Carl. Thank you, Mike. Who's obviously out in the yard. Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Go ahead with your question, Carl. All right.
I think we lost Carl.
All right.
Should be 13. Right there.
Hello.
Go ahead, Carl.
All right. I just got done planting some desert trees, a Palo Blanco, a shoestring acacia, and a sweet acacia. And now I'm wondering about watering. I've got dripper lines to them. Should I stick one in the ground? These are 15-gallon trees. Should I stick one in the ground and have one on top? And how often should I have the dripper on them?
Carl, I would go ahead and water every other day just for the first week because it's still up in the 90s. They are desert trees, but they're nursery grown, so they're not quite used to, you know, little to no water like they would out in their native environment. So every other day for the first week or two, after that, you'll start cutting it back every couple weeks by a day. So, you know, every other day, every third day for a couple weeks, every fourth day. And by that time, we're going to start cooling down quite a bit. So once a week would be okay, and every 10 days, once it really cools down, those night times are cool. The trees aren't using nearly as much water. As far as the drippers go, I'd keep them on the surface. If you do have one of those that you put in the ground and it ends up clogging and you don't know, the tree's not getting the water you think it is, it's just easier to keep it at the surface level. It's dripping, so it's going to drip right on top of the root ball and soak down.
And how much water should he apply?
Good question. On a 15-gallon, we generally recommend between 8 and 10 gallons of water to really – it's not technically a 15-gallon bucket that it's grown in. It's just a nursery size. But 8 to 10 gallons will usually saturate that root ball sufficient enough.
Outstanding. Now, we've got a very special call on the line. It's actually your president who wants to talk to you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, Jay, don't do Jay. Too good a job or I'll be out of a job over there.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Mr. Harper.
Hey, just wanted to call and wish you guys happy birthday, happy anniversary to Treeland Nurseries, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. That is the Arizona Nursery Association president, Jay Harper, and host of the Rosie on the House Outdoor Living Hour. He is in Mesa at his location. I'm sorry, in Scottsdale at his location. He used to be out here at McKellips, but they're all on the Thomas and Hayden location. Now, what's going on at Harper's today? I got an email. It sounded like y'all were kind of busy today.
Well, it's getting to be that time of year, as the guys at Treeland know, and a little later this morning, we're headed down for a showing of an HGTV pilot for a little builder company that we are doing some work with, so that's kind of a fun morning. So we're
is that Chris?
We think,
is that Chris
we think
Lyles?
About it. It's Chris Lyles. Yeah, Chris. You went to high school with Chris. Yeah.
We were in freshman PE together.
There you go.
At Horizon. Yeah. Congratulations, Chris. He actually sent me an invite. It starts at 11 when the program ends, and it's in downtown Phoenix. Do you think I can get there from Mesa in 9 minutes?
I bet you can get there in time for a free lunch.
Oh, there you go. Well, congratulations, Lyles. And Harpers, y'all are in your 67th year in business?
70.
70.
The big
wow.
70. Yeah. Yeah, I look very pretty good, good for 70. Yeah.
Now, you're in your 70th year, but you're third generation. You know, Travis is a little behind because Keith here has Luke, who's 7 years old, to take over his fourth generation. You need to get Travis working on the fourth generation here, Jay.
That's right. Well, Travis would be the fourth generation, but I think he's got other plans at the moment.
Well, we appreciate the call this morning. We actually have our next live question here that we're going to get on air.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Mr. Harper.
And we actually have Patty, who wants to get her question on air and get entered to win the free 24-inch box tree that she'll be able to pick out if she wins right here off of Treeland's yard. Patty, go ahead.
Hi. We had a Caracara that was planted in our yard about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's smaller now than it was when we first planted it.
Okay.
So it probably stands about yay high. So we're figuring at this point we probably need to just dig that out and put something else back in. Are we okay in planting in the same location? Do we need to?
You are. Did you ever see that tree put on any new growth right after it was planted within the first 6 months or a year initially, or it just kind of shrunk ever since?
It keeps putting on new growth lower.
Lower, okay. Okay, maybe down around the graft. It's a sucker growth or even below yeah. or above that just slightly.
Look at that. She's pulling up pictures on her smartphone.
All right.
If the phone's still
that
working.
Will help. Yeah. But, at this point, if you've invested 3 years, it probably well worth it to start over again. I hate to say that, but going in the same hole is generally okay.
And it's a lot easier digging.
Yeah, that's for sure. But just looking at the photos here, it could have been in any number of things. It does have some sun scald on the trunk itself, which is very common on citrus. So on the new tree, I would be sure to cover the trunk, wrap it, or paint it, prevent the sun from burning it up.
And, okay.
We can really see that affect trees. I wouldn't have any hesitation putting the same tree in the same spot again.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think you should be
Sounds
safe
good.
Doing so.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And just real quick before we get to our break, a lot of problems is it's planted too deep originally.
Yeah, so we do see a lot of, you know, the old rule of thumb was dig the hole twice as wide and twice as deep. Well, the twice as deep is tough because people will backfill to bring the soil level back up, but they've added air into the soil and haven't allowed it to settle. And so, yeah, a lot of times we do see trees that are and plants that are planted 2 or 3 inches too deep, either just right off the bat or the tree is settled over the month or so after it gets watered. And that soil starts to build up on the trunk, and it will kill it.
But when you're digging, and it does make perfect sense while you're digging, say, hey, well, I'll dig it down so the roots can get down lower easier. But
yes,
that's not
that's
what they need to get out, not down.
Right, because they're not going too far down. But, it's okay to do that. And if you do, just make sure you're really getting in there and stomping on it and really compacting it back down again just to prevent anything from sinking lower.